turn to your Bibles. Psalms 86. I was asking the Lord this afternoon for direction and wisdom and something for the service. And this is what He gave me. And I'm just going to give you what He gave to me. Psalm 86 is a prayer of David. And most of y'all know that David is one of my biblical heroes. I love to study the life of David. Love to study the things that David learned and the things that David taught his son. And there's a lot of lessons in the life of David. And one of those lessons that we learn, first of all, is how to live by faith. David had to learn some of that, amen. And David did do that. David lived by faith. And yes, there were some failures in David's life, but David was a man of faith. David said, I love the statutes of the Word of God, the precepts of the Word of God. David loved the house of God. And so I believe David was a man of faith. I believe that, amen. And I believe that we can learn some things about faith by looking at David's life. And I'm not preaching on faith tonight, but I believe that's one of the lessons we can learn by looking at David's life and studying it. We can learn some things about grace. The God of all grace, amen, was gracious to David when David sinned. And the God of all grace was a God that was there and saw David's sin, amen, knew that David sinned, dealt with David in his sin, and forgave David of his sin. What a blessing. But there's another lesson that we can learn tonight, and that lesson is on the lesson of prayer. Psalm 86 is a prayer of David. As you study through the book of Psalms, there's several different writers of the Psalms, the Psalm of Asaph, the Psalm, Psalm 85, as a matter of fact, is a psalm for the sons of Korah. You read the writing over the heading there, right under the chapter 85 or 86 in your Bibles, if they have them listed. Psalms 86 is a psalm of David. It says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, and long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. That's Psalms 86, verse 1 through 17. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this afternoon, this evening, Father, for your grace and your mercy and your love. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this week. Father, you've been so good to us every day. Lord, today, not being an exception of that, Lord, you've been good to us even today, allowing us to come together, Lord, tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, God, you'd take this precious word of God tonight, Lord, that would you use it and lift us up, Father, and edify the believers, Lord, tonight, and strengthen us, Father, I pray. And I pray that you'd guard these lips of clay and help me to say only that that's pleasing to you tonight. Hide me behind the cross, Father, I pray. And Lord, may we glean some things from Scripture tonight. May it help us in our prayer time and our prayer life. Lord, may we see the urgency of the hour, the necessary time of prayer. Father, how we need to set aside a special time, and Lord, how we need to do that more often and not get so wrapped up in things of life that we neglect our prayer time. And I pray, God, you'd help us tonight to have your will and way in all that's said and done. Use me, Father, I pray. Open the hearts of each and every one and their understanding. Help us, Lord, tonight that we can leave here saying it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we'll thank you. Father, we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' loving name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I couldn't help but go back to Psalm 85. There's just one verse there in Psalm 85 and verse number 6. It says, "Will thou not revive us again?" And I realize that the verse is used a lot for revival. That's used a lot of times for the verse of Scripture that's kind of like the theme for most revivals. But I looked at that verse of Scripture when I was reading the prayer of David, and I couldn't help but think how we need a revival of prayer. We need a revival of our prayer time. There's nothing that the Christian needs more than it is prayer. The greatest tool that we have as a believer is that tool of prayer. I find myself at times getting up in the morning. I try to get up early enough, amen, that I can have time for prayer. But there's days when the phone will ring before I ever get my feet on the floor. And the people will start calling. My phone will be buzzing all day long. And before long, it's a half a day into the day. And I've realized I've neglected to spend time with the Lord. It's one thing I despise doing is getting up in the morning without my wife. Amen. Y'all might not mind it, but I don't like getting up in the morning with my wife not being there, especially if I have to stay in the motel and I have to stay out of town. The reason for it, I don't have a chance to talk to her. I don't get to hear her voice. I don't get to speak to her. Now, every time that I'm out of town, we'll text each other, and occasionally we'll have time because we got to get ready. We've got to hit the road, and we've got our things that we got to get done, and I got to get checked out of the motel, and it's always run, run, run when you do that. But we'll text each other and hope you have a great day, praying you have a great day, and I always try to spend time praying for my wife and my family, and I'm not trying to boast and brag about myself, but I always try to do that, amen? That I have a good day, that God keeps me safe, and He keeps my wife safe, keeps my children safe, even my son-in-law. Hallelujah. I even pray for them too, amen? And my grandbabies. But the thing about it is, when I get up in the morning, I want to, whether I get to hear the voice of my wife or not, I can make it through the day because I can text her. But if I don't hear the voice of the Lord, I have a hard day. If I don't spend some time talking to Him, I find myself having a hard day. And there's nothing greater than the prayer life of a believer. David has given us that great example. I've got about 15 things I wrote down here. All right, well, maybe not 15, but anyway, I've wrote a few things down that I've found in David's prayer. And I was sitting there this afternoon and just kind of meditating on this passage of Scripture and asking God to show me some things, and he did exactly that. He showed me some things in this passage of Scripture. I want you to follow along with me, and I'll try to help you tonight if I can. David said in verse number 1, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." I notice, first of all, as we look at this, the first thing I see in that passage of Scripture is a call for prayer. If anybody says they don't have a reason to pray, they're lying. Amen. David said, "First of all, Lord, hear my prayer because I am poor and needy." Amen. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're financially poor. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're material poor. Amen. We don't have the things of the world. He's talking about poor and needy in a spiritual sense. Amen. He was needing to speak to the Lord. He needed to hear from heaven. And he was poor and he was needy spiritually. That gave him the great cause for prayer. Every one of us tonight are poor and needy. Amen. Everybody, listen, is needy, and we're poor when it comes to our spirituality. Amen. We need more than what we have now. We will never plateau. We'll never get to the place where we have all we'll ever need of the Lord. Then we get the glory. Amen. We're poor and we're needy. So there is a cause for prayer. Now, not a lot of times people say, and I've talked to some people, and they tell me, say, "Preacher, I don't pray for myself. I wait until there's a reason to pray. Maybe somebody needs something, I'll pray for this person, or there's a need of this person's life or that person's life, or Maybe there's just something going on, and I'll just pray for whatever the situation is, but I don't always find a reason to pray for myself. Let me say, David starts his prayer off and says, I am poor and needy. If it's anything that you and I need to learn tonight, in the very first step of David's prayer is that we need to pray for ourselves. Amen? I know there's people that tell me, and people that's confessed to me, they talk to me, and they said, and not necessarily in a counseling session, but just in regular conversation, and said, preacher, I do not pray for myself. I find it hard to pray for myself. And I say, how in this world can you pray for anybody else if you can't pray for yourself? Amen? Now, the very first thing you need to do is learn to pray for yourself. Confession does the heart good. Amen? And if you can't confess your faults unto the Lord, listen, if you can't confess your sins, we all sin, it comes short of the glory of God. And our first step is confession, confessing those sins unto the Lord and asking God to deliver us from temptation. We need to pray for ourselves because we're poor and needy. Amen? The very first step. I need that. And I'm your pastor. I'm a preacher of the gospel. And listen, I need to pray every single day that God would hedge me up and protect me and lead me not into temptation. Lord, be our prayer. Amen? Why so many preachers fail? Why so many deacons fall? Why so many lay people in the church fall, get out in sin? Because they fail to pray. I'm poor and needy. I'm the one that needs to pray. Worry ourselves to death about praying for the missionaries, and we ought to pray for the missionaries. Amen. We'll worry ourselves to death about praying for the pastor, and you ought to pray, please, for your pastor. Amen. But number one, before you pray for your missionaries and your pastor or anybody else on the prayer list, you ought to pray for yourself. I need prayer. I try to, first in the morning when I begin my prayer, I try to remember myself, first of all, Lord, protect me today as I travel. Lord, protect me on the road. And as I'm praying that, I realize my wife's going to be traveling. Lord, would you protect her? And then I know my girls and my son-in-laws will be traveling. Lord, would you protect them? I know mother's going to be going somewhere. Lord, would you protect her? And as you start to pray for yourself, other people come to mind. Amen? And it helps you. And I pray for my family. And I go down the list through the church. After I get through my family, I think of my church family. And I go through the pews and say, Lord, Brother Fred's out there shifting gears. Would you protect him? Amen. And keep him awake while he's driving that truck. And just go down the line. I know Miss Jane's probably running to the grocery store, a hobby shop or something, and protect her. And listen, I go down the line and through the list of people in the church, and I pray for them. Even the children. I pray, Lord, protect the children. Not only protect them from sickness, but protect them from harm. Amen. But listen, all that is great, all that is well, but we must start our prayer with praying for ourselves. David said, I'm poor and need to preserve my soul, for I am holy. Hold thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. There is a cause for prayer. Moving on, I got to hurry. We notice in verse number 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Not only is there a cause for prayer, but there's a continuance in prayer. We notice that David didn't do this one day. David didn't just do this once a week or once a month. But David confessed and says, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. It was a daily thing for David to spend time with the Lord. Every day of your life, you ought to find your place somewhere and spend time with God. Now, a lot of days it's not easy to do that, and I understand that. Whenever we're talking about prayer, it's not the posture of prayer. You don't have to kneel down and close your eyes and be all holy when you do that. You don't have to kneel at a wall and moan and groan like some people do and all that. You don't have to do all that mess. Amen. The Bible says we can boldly go before the throne of grace. Amen. You can boldly walk into the throne of grace. And listen, you can do that with your mind, amen, and your eyes open. Don't have to have them closed. And so listen, let me share this with you. This week I had somebody riding with me. Normally when I get up in the mornings, I'll get myself ready and I go out the door. I've got 30 minutes from the time I get up to the time I get out that door to get my coffee fixed, my hair fixed, my teeth brushed, my clothes on and out the door. Amen. And sometimes I get up a little earlier than that, but that's just the way I function. Amen. I get up and I go. And when I get in that vehicle and I start down the road, that's prayer time. That phone don't ring till about 7:30. I got about an hour, hour and a half. Amen. I spend with the Lord. And I'm not trying to brag. Listen, please don't think I'm bragging on myself because I'm not. But this is my prayer time. And if somebody calls me between the hours of 6 and 7 or 7:30, that interrupts my prayer time. And it messes with my day sometimes. And Brother Fred, you're all right. I've done finished praying when you call me. Amen. Now, a matter of fact, brother, whenever you called me, I was thinking the same thing that you was looking at. I was looking at thinking, what a great God we serve. Amen. And we was both going down the road this morning looking at that eastern sky and the sun coming up. I'm telling you, it's just awesome what God puts together. Amen. But I spent some time and I prayed. But this past week I had somebody riding with me. And I get up and I get myself ready. And I go out the door and they're already there waiting on me. And they get in the vehicle with me. And we're going down the road and yak, 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 yak. You know, they won't hush and they just talk, talk, talk. And I'm trying to be nice. You know, I'm riding with this guy. We got to go to work. And we're trying to, you know, talk about whatever. And I'm thinking the whole time going down the road, I wish he'd go to sleep. And he's real good at it, too. About 10, 15 minutes into that trip, he's starting to nod. Of hallelujah. Getting about prayer time. I can't pray out loud like I do when I'm by myself. Amen. But I can still pray. And I'm still driving and I'm talking to the Lord. And it makes my day go so much better. There's a continuance in prayer. Just because somebody interrupts your day, don't allow that interruption to stop you from finding a place to pray. Hey, when Jesus was being baptized, the Bible teaches us while he was being baptized, he was talking to the Father. Amen. So we can pray. There's a continuance in prayer. David said, I cry unto thee daily. There's a cause for prayer. There's a continuance in prayer. And then we see, what's this now? Verse number 6. There's a calling in prayer. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. I can tell you all day about my prayer life. I can tell you what the Lord has done for me. It doesn't do nothing for you. Amen. It's just a personal prayer time. What you do in your prayer life for God to do in your life is up to you. Amen. You can hear me tell it. You can hear somebody else tell about what they prayed for. God answered their prayer. Hallelujah. We all shout together. But if you don't spend time yourself in calling upon the Lord, he won't do for you, amen, what he does for others. But let me say this on the flip side of that coin. He can do for you what he has done for us. Amen. It is no secret what God can do. But there is a calling in prayer. Notice David didn't say, Lord, answer the prayer of my servant, answer the prayer of my men, answer the prayer of my children. But he says, answer, Lord, give ear and hear, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and hear and attend to the voice of my supplications. David said, God, I need an audience with you. I need you to hear what I'm saying. I'm desperate. I'm poor and I'm needy. I've been here every day praying, God, I need to hear from heaven. We get desperate. We get serious. Let me back up. No, I'm not going to say desperate. I'm going to say serious. A lot of times people don't pray until they're desperate. We want to get serious in our prayer time. Every single time we pray, we want to be serious about it. David in verse number 3 said, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. That word cry carries with it a lot of weight. It's not a whisper. It's not a quiet voice. David said, I cried unto the Lord. Wanted to get his attention. Amen. Now listen, a lot of times whenever we go to the Lord in prayer and we spend some time praying, the phone will ring, the TV's on, the kids are running all over the place, the dogs are barking, the cat's meowing, and listen, everything in the world is going on around us and we're so distracted that we can't get an audience with God. And we get up from our prayer time and we don't feel like we got anything accomplished. Y'all ever feel like that? I've felt like that many times. We feel like when we get up from our prayer time, we don't feel like we've accomplished anything and we need to go back in there and spend some more time. The problem with that is we get so distracted by everything around us and we don't cry out to the Lord and get his attention. We just go in there and kind of whisper and hope nobody else hears us. I don't care who hears me. When I get into that throne room, it ain't about who's around me. Amen. I'm talking about whenever you get in there. Now, sometimes you can go into prayer and your mind can be going everywhere. Amen. And you ain't in the throne yet. You ain't in the throne room. Your mind is everywhere else and you're speaking words, but you're not in the throne room. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. You can be speaking words and think that you're doing great things, but God's not hearing. Because your mind is not on what you're saying. You're speaking words. Amen. There's a calling in prayer. David said, give ear, hear, attend to my voice and my prayer. Then notice with me verse number 7. David said verse number 7, in the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Not only is there cause for prayer, continuance in prayer, and a calling in prayer, but there's confidence in prayer. David said, hey, Lord, I know in the day of my troubles I'll call upon thee and you will answer me. How did David know that? How did David know that God would answer him? He had confidence in the Lord because he'd answered him before and brought him through many trials and troubles and circumstances and situations in life. And David said, I know in the day of my troubles, thou will answer me. There's confidence. Do we pray? Whenever we pray, do we have confidence that God can, that God will? You better have faith unwavering. That's what the Bible says. Amen. If we pray and ask God to do something, believe God will do that. Amen. Trust Him to do that. The Bible teaches us that He wants to do good for His people. He wants to share blessings with us and be gracious. And He has been gracious to us. But He wants to do great and mighty things for us. Things which we know us not. He said, call upon me and I will answer thee and show us thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Lord, have confidence in our prayer time. Whenever we take it to the Lord in prayer, as the songwriter wrote, whenever we take it to the Lord in prayer, we ought to have confidence that He hears us, first of all. How can you have confidence in Him hearing you? Because I've confessed my sin and I've got my heart in tune with Him. If your heart's not in tune with Him, He will not hear thee. Amen. If there's sin in your life, there's sin in your heart, and you know that sin is there, God will not hear your prayer. That's Bible. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly tonight. That's just Bible. Amen. Now, somebody was on the radio today, and I don't know if I can remember his word for word the way he said it. I flipped the radio on, and they gave me another vehicle. They took my van and gave it to somebody else, which was a blessing. Hallelujah. And they gave me a Ford truck. Yeah, amen. It's a four-door. I like it. But anyway, I thought that they had a Kenwood stereo in it, Brother Fred, and I thought, man, I'm going to jam. I got my CDs, and I'm going to plug them things in. I'm going to be shouting going down the road. Well, it's just a stupid radio. It ain't a CD player. So I was kind of disappointed in that. But anyway, I turned that thing on today, and I was going down the road, and it's a talk show on the Christian talk show radio thing, and this guy was talking about our culture. And he said, I can tell you this. He said, someone once made this statement, and he said, this is one of the profound statements I've ever heard. And he began to talk about our culture. And says, you can focus so much on the culture that you'll neglect the very sin in your life. Because we're looking at everybody else's. And I thought, boy, that's some deep stuff. I mean, we look around at everybody else and look at the homosexuals and the lesbians and all this other mess that they're doing and all these drunkards and drug addicts and all the stuff that they do and all the robbers and all the lawyers and the crooks. And we look at all the things they do. We forget sometimes to just look at ourselves. The culture, the society causes us to neglect looking at our own sin. Confession, amen. It's good for the soul. David had confidence in prayer because he had confessed and got his heart in tune with Him. He says, I know thou wilt answer me. Moving on. Notice verse number 8. Let me elaborate just a little bit, if I may, on verse number 8. Among the gods, little G-O-D-S. There's no other God but the Jehovah God. Amen. There's none other God. There's little G-O-D-S, little gods. That's the devil and his little minions. Amen. That's what that's speaking of. Among the gods, there's none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. The devil does things, but there's no work like God's work. Amen. I'm going to move on. That's not my message. I'm not going to elaborate on that no more. I'm moving right along. But notice we find in verse number 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. In verse number 7, I said that David had confidence in prayer. And verse number 9 says that there's confession. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee. All nations. Whether it's, listen, those that's full of Islam and other religions, the Bible says that all nations will come and they'll worship the God of heaven. They'll confess He is Lord. Amen. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess He is Lord. Amen. And so there's confession. We see that in David's prayer. David said in verse number 10, "For Thou art great and doest wondrous things, and Thou art God alone." Now I want to say this tonight. There's a two-part to that confession. First of all, we understand, we know we must confess our sin for God to hear us. Then there's the confession part of, it's more like adoration. You're God alone. You're a great God. It's okay to tell God He's great. God already knows He's great, but it's okay to tell Him you realize that. David said that "For Thou art great and do wondrous things, and Thou art God alone." David confessed that He was his God and there was no other. That's called adoration in prayer. It's real good to add that in there. If you hadn't been doing that, just add that in there. Every once in a while when I get to pray, and I like to sing. And some people might think I'm crazy, but that's all right. I know I'm a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat. Amen. But I get to singing that song, "How Great Thou Art," right in the middle of your prayer. I'm telling you, if that won't lift your heart up and encourage you, nothing ever will. Amen. And I'll get to singing "How," and I don't even know all the words to it. I just repeat that over and over and over, and then I get back to praying. Sometimes when I get through praying, there's a song that comes to my heart, and I'll start singing going down the road. Well, I'm telling you, if you get in tune with God, that confession of your sin and getting your heart in tune, but then that confession of who He is. He's a great God. He's done wondrous things, and His name shall be glorified. They can make fun of us all they want to, amen. There'll be a day, they'll look at us and say, "The cat was right." Well, I guess He does know what He's talking about. Well, I guess so. I read the Bible. Amen. Anyway, He is God. We need to realize that, amen, and then tell Him that. Confession and prayer. David said, "Thou art great." Then we see, he says in verse number 11, watch this now. Verse 11, now we see the preparation of David's prayer, the model prayer that David has given us here, and I don't want to take away from the Lord's model prayer, and please don't think I'm doing that, but this is helping us. This is a believer. This is David, a man after God's own heart, and he lays this prayer out as he's talking to the Lord, and there's a cause, there's a continuance in prayer, there's a calling upon the Lord there in prayer, there's confidence that God is going to answer him, there's a confession of who God is, but then there's something that comes after that that's mighty, mighty important. And David said in verse 11, "Teach me thy way. O Lord, teach me thy way, and I will walk in thy truth." Watch this. "Unite my heart to fear thy name." There's chastening in prayer. There's chastening in prayer. Let me give you a verse of scripture in the book of Hebrews. The Bible says in chapter number 12 and in verse number 6, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, chasteneth; for whom He loveth, and scourgeth every son whom He receives." David's saying, "He's my Lord, He's my God." And then he says, "God, teach me thy way. Chasten me. Correct me." Well, that's a serious prayer. Lord, chasten me. I've said this many times before, and I've preached this before, on patience, and now we need to pray that God give us patience. And I've had preachers tell me that I'm crazy. Tell, "Oh, you ought not pray for patience. You better read your Bible, amen. The Bible teaches us that we need patience just as much as we need temperance and meekness and holiness. We need patience, amen." But I've talked to people about patience and praying for that, that they ought to pray for patience. And listen, there's times when people are just, they'll rebuke things that you say. And they'll say, "Oh, you shouldn't do that. That if you pray for patience, you're going to have tribulation." Well, yeah, you're going to have tribulations when you pray for patience or not. Amen. But you pray for patience and you'll make it through that tribulation. Amen. Now, David here is saying, "Teach me thy way. Chasten me, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth." What a prayer to pray. God, if I'm not doing your would you correct me? That'd be about like my daughter coming up to me and saying, "Daddy, I know I'm not doing right. Would you spank me?" It's unheard of. Amen. Who would do such a thing like that? How many children would go up to their parents and say, "Hey, I've done this and I've done that and I know that it's wrong. Correct me. Chasten me." A good child would do such a thing, but you don't find very many. Most of them want to hide it and run from it. That's just like us. We want to hide our sin, we want to run from God. And David here is saying, "Chasten me, teach me thy way, and I will walk in thy truth." And then he says these profound words, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." We get to the place in our Christian life where we fear the name of the Lord. I'm not talking about a fear that he's going to strike us dead. I'm talking about a reverential fear. A fear that he's God. He's a great God. He can do great and mighty things. Amen. And we ought to fear him because of who he is and what he is, but not in a scary type of way. In other words, whenever the child does something wrong and daddy looks at him, there's a fear. They ain't scared to death. Amen. I used to look at my girls. Sometimes I can still do it. But I used to just give them a look. And that was a fear come over them. Not that they was afraid I was going to beat them today, because I never beat my children. Amen? I didn't ever do that. I think she might be beating one back there now, but anyway. I didn't ever do that. But my children had a fear. And daddy looked at them. They know they'd messed up. Amen? God wants us to have that same kind of fear. Whenever we sin, we realize our heart's in tune. It's united with him in fear that whenever we sin, we realize we've done this thing that's against him and him alone. And we want to make things right. David said, "Chasten, correct me, teach me." Verse number 12, the Bible says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God. Watch out now. With all my heart. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all of my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. In verse number 12, we find there's charity in prayer. There's love. David loves the Lord. We've already established that. He loves God. He's got a heart for God. And he wants his heart to be in tune with God so God will answer his prayer and hear his cry. And he magnifies his name, glorifies his name, and even asks God to teach him, to chasten him, to correct him. And God does that because God loves him. And God loves you and me. And God will do the same for us. Amen? He'll help us if we learn how to pray and spend time with him and how to walk this Christian life. He'll help us if our hearts get in tune with him. And then the Bible here, David says, when I realize all these things that God's done and my heart's in tune with him, I praise him, not half-heartedly. Go down here to the Vintage Church on Sunday morning. Half-heartedly, if heartily at all. There's no conviction. There's nothing. Amen. I don't even think God's with 100 miles of that mess. And not just that one, but the others. Amen. Preachers, you're going out on a long limb. I'm hanging out there probably by myself, but I don't believe God's in none of that mess. Amen. When I have to bebop and rock to try to get Jesus' attention, I don't believe God's in none of that. It doesn't take the praise and worship team to get God's attention. It doesn't take the beating of the drums to get God's attention. It takes the beating of the drums and the praise and worship team to get the attention of the flesh. Amen. That was free, didn't cost anything. What gets God's attention is whenever our hearts are in tune with him. The quietness, the peacefulness. Whenever we get in tune with him, we'll praise him with our whole heart. What does that even mean? What did David mean when he said, "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all of my heart"? David is saying, "I'm going to put everything I have into praising." In other words, whenever you come to the time of praise, he wasn't worried about everybody else and what they were doing. He wasn't worried about what somebody might say, what somebody might think, what somebody else might try to do. He wasn't trying to outdo somebody else. Have y'all ever been in a service where they try to outdo each other? That's the most ridiculous bunch of mess I've ever seen. They try to outshout each other. And one to take off a running, and somebody else will go run and try to run faster than that one did. God's not in that mess. Amen? They're competing with each other. David said, "I'm not worried about nobody else. I'll praise thee with my whole heart. I'd give it everything I got because I know what God's done for me. I know how great God is. I know what a great God I serve. So there's charity in prayer. David said, verse 13, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Well, that ought to be our thoughts, amen? God has showed us mercy. God has been great in mercy toward us, and He has delivered our souls from the lowest hell. What a hallelujah goes right there, amen? Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Amen? Hey, listen, "Great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Oh God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of the violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before thee." They've turned against God. They've turned against the men of God, the servants of God. Notice what David says. Here's the charge in prayer, and I'm done. This is the charge in prayer. David said in verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." Let me just break that down for you. Thou, O Lord, art a God full of graciousness. Thou, O God, art full of long suffering. And thou, O God, art full of mercy and truth. There's plentiness in mercy and truth. Here's the charge, verse 16. "O turn unto me. Have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant." Verse 17, "Show me a token for good." Let me help you just a little bit. David's ending of this prayer, he's giving a charge unto God. He's speaking unto the God Jehovah, the God of heaven, the God that saved him, the God that has done all things. And he says to that God, our God, "Turn unto me. I need it. Have mercy upon me." Then he asks for God to give him strength. "Give thy strength unto thy servant." In verse 17 he says, "Show me a token for good." Show me a token for good. David said, listen, they're out, the deceivers, the liars, the God-haters are out to destroy me and all the things that has to do anything with God. They're out to shut down the house of God, to tear up our Bibles and go away with them. They want to hush us. They don't want us to pray. They don't want us to say anything about God. They want us to stop all that. David says, "Turn unto me, God. Give me strength in these days, the days I'm living. Give me strength and show me a token for good." What does that mean? That means that people can look at you and tell you've been with God. They can look at you and know that your heart is in tune with God. You've talked to Him today. You've been with God. I'll never forget. Now, listen, again, I'm not bragging on myself. I am nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I don't try to be anything that I'm not except a saved individual. But I do believe in praying before you preach. I was traveling with the girls' home ministry, and I've been earnestly praying. We didn't have a meeting on a Sunday night. I'd been meditating on Scripture and praying as we was traveling. And I was thinking, Lord, I sure do need a place to drop in. I need somewhere to go. These girls, we need some money for gas. We need food and all this stuff, you know, within the ministry we need. But Lord, most of all, I just want to meet with you. I want to help somebody. I want to be a blessing to somebody. Riding down the road, and here's this sign on the side of the road, the Independent Baptist Church. Never been there before. I told my wife, I said, let's turn around. Let's go back to that little church. I felt a little tug when I drove by. I believe God wants us to go to that little church. We walked in there. I don't know the people. I didn't know the people. I do now, but I didn't then. We walked in there, and all the girls went in first. The wife went in, then the girls went in. I come in last. And I'm a praying as I come through those doors, God, please, I need you. I don't know what I'm walking into. I have no idea what's in behind these doors. These people may be fanatics. They may handle snakes, for all I know. I mean, I don't have a clue. God, please, protect us, help us. And I walked around the corner, and I met the pastor. and he looked at me kind of strange for just a minute. And just kept looking at me. Hey, brother, how you doing? Thank you for coming. Introduced ourselves and all that. After the service was over with, he confessed. He told me, he said, there was a glow about that man when he come around the corner. And I didn't know what to say, but I knew he'd been with God. Now, I'm not saying that to boast or brag about myself. I'm telling you, David said, show me a token of good. People know if you've been praying or not. People know if you've been spending time with God or not. If you've been kicking the dog and cussing the cat, they know that too. Amen. David said in his prayer, the charge that he gave to the Lord, strengthen me, hear me, turn unto me, have mercy upon me, give me strength, and show me a token for good. Watch what he said, the last part of verse 17. That they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast hope in me or helped me and comforted me. He's my God. Amen. How's your prayer life? There's a charge in prayer. There's charity in prayer. There's chastening in prayer. Confession in prayer. Confidence in prayer. Calling in prayer. Continuance in prayer. And there's definitely a cause for prayer. I hope this is a help to you tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given us.